So we meet here Paul at a crucial turning point in his life. Just minutes before, he was a free man worshiping God in the temple. And then he is falsely accused of bringing Trophimus the Ephesian, a Gentile, into the court of the Jews, a capital offense. When pandemonium breaks out, Paul is on the verge of being stoned. But he is rescued by the Roman soldiers who take him into custody. In truth, he will never be a free man again. Then the suspect, shackled in chains, asked the Roman tribune a question. And the soldier, surprised that he spoke to him in Greek, grants Paul permission to address the crowd that had just tried to kill him. A truly astonishing scene, the transition of Paul from missionary to Paul the prisoner. Then Paul speaks to this angry mob in Hebrew and tells them his story. This is truly a hostile audience as they ever want to see. But Paul is anxious to share with his fellow Jews what has happened to him. It is the story of his transformation from a violent opponent of the church into a follower of the risen Christ. You all know this story, perhaps the most famous conversion story in the history of the world. Outside Damascus, on his way to imprison Christian converts, the risen Christ himself confronts Paul with this burning question, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" The blinded Saul is led into Damascus to the house of Ananias, where he receives his sight and he is baptized into Christ. And the rest, as they say, is history. Paul the convert will travel the Mediterranean world proclaiming good news of the risen Christ to Jews and Gentiles alike. Now, what we didn't read is the next paragraph. His audience will listen to him up until the point where Paul mentions this: Christ sent him to Gentiles. That is a bridge too far for his hearers, and that's when the Roman soldiers whisk him away. Then Paul plays the only card he has available. Paul tells the soldiers he is a Roman citizen, so he is spared the usual flogging. And the rest of Acts tells what happened to Paul: 2 years imprisonment in Caesarea, a perilous adventure on the high seas, and finally, house arrest in Rome. And tradition says that eventually Paul was martyred under the Emperor Nero. And that is the rest of the story. Now, brothers and sisters, everyone has a story. The Jewish tradition suggested that God created the human family simply because God loves stories. Once upon a time is music to God's ears. And as Jimmy Buffett said in his magnificent song, "He Went to Paris," some of it's tragic, some of it's magic, but I've had a good life all the way. And so it was with Paul, and so it is with you, and so it is with me. My story begins in the piney woods of East Texas during the Jim Crow era of our nation's history. That means that blacks and whites were on the opposite sides of the tracks in every sense of the word, except for the fact that many of us, myself included, were raised by African American women who cooked and cleaned our houses and raised us to be good boys. Both my parents worked, my father an electrical engineer and my mother a high school business teacher, and so my sister Kay and my brother Steve, like myself, were raised by Ruby and Mary. And if you have seen the movie The Help, you've seen my story. Now, we belong to a fundamentalist church and said our prayers in public schools until Madeline Murray O'Hare ended all that. By the way, in the 1970s, I met Madeline Murray O'Hare in a nondescript headquarters in Austin. Madeline was positively evangelical, about her atheism, and she gladly gave me some brochures, which I still have somewhere. But back to Tyler, my hometown. All the stereotypes about the 1950s and the 1960s I experienced in my town of 60,000 souls. Friends, sports, school, but especially the fundamentalist religion of my youth. Now, I also had a sojourn in the Baptist church because my girlfriend wouldn't date me if I didn't go to church with her. And there I had my first taste of heartfelt religion, emotional music, and powerful evangelistic preaching. I know what it's like to quake in your boots with the fires of hell licking up from below. I know it well. But that whole world pretty much disappeared in the summer of 1966 after I graduated from high school. My parents were going through a divorce, so they sent me to Europe, where my brother and sister were stationed in the military. I had a backpack, a Eurail pass, and a map of Europe. And for 3 months, I wandered hither and yon, seeing things and hearing things I had not encountered behind the piney woods curtain, as we called it. I was confronted by racism. I was confronted with radically different ideas politically. Remember, this was the Vietnam era. And radically different religious ideas. Seeing the Vatican was truly eye-opening. Now, my cousin was a religious journalist, and he was covering the World Council of Churches in Geneva. And that meeting was about church and society. You should Google it someday. It was my first encounter with liberation theology. I heard Christian leaders from across the third world calling for independence from their European colonizers. To say that my jaw dropped would be an understatement. Let's just say that I returned from my European sojourn for college a changed person, and I haven't been the same since. Now, time does not permit me to tell you all of my journey, thankfully. There was college. There was 2 years of working in the state schools of Texas with developmentally delayed people, much like you care for and share your care. Then to Austin for seminary and becoming a Presbyterian in my 20s, a decision I've never regretted except after long Presbytery meetings. And if you ask me how I became a Presbyterian, this is important. The short answer is, the good people of Austin Seminary loved me into the faith. They loved me into the faith. That led to 5 years of youth ministry, 13 years of campus ministry at 3 different universities, and many years as a pastor. And now 10 years as an interim and a parish associate. Also, for 42 years, I have taught part-time in different colleges and universities. I believe that I have a dual calling to the church as well as to the academy. I still lecture in the OASIS program, the UNM Continuing Ed program, and St. Norbert College. By the way, I got to St. Norbert College because of your founding pastor, Kay Huggins, who invited me. And for 39 years, I have been married to Sharon, the love of my life, and we are blessed with 4 grown boys. Now, my journey of faith fills me with a deep sense of gratitude and a deep commitment to the life of the church as well as to the academy. By the grace of God, that fire still burns strongly in my heart. God's tender mercy has followed me all the days of my life through thick and thin. God has been immensely good to me, a sinner saved by grace. So I am thankful for every moment of my journey. And so, sisters and brothers, today, we are grateful that Paul had a story, that I have a story, and that all of you have a story, and I can't wait to hear yours. Our story should remind all of us this great truth. Grace has led us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. Amen, sister. So thanks be to God, this amazing God, whose love will never let us go every day of our journey ahead. Thanks be to God. Amen.